All right, my Muscle Project, welcome back to another episode of In the Black. And this week on the show, we have Travis Jones. Travis Jones is he's an all-round entrepreneur. He has multiple gyms. It's the results-based training gyms. Their RBT gyms is sort of the nickname they go by. They have multiple locations all across Australia and internationally as well. And what's interesting is Travis doesn't want to franchise the gym. So we go into that and how he's kind of built it all from scratch organically. The kind of different methods he's gone about it and kind of the hurdles that he's run into growing these gyms and doing it without a franchise model, which obviously is a lot different. There's not that massive cash injection of, you know, that new franchisee that wants to come on and grow their gym. So a very interesting approach and one that's been working really well for him. And as well, he does a lot of marketing for other fitness businesses. So he helps them with similar stuff that Alchemy has done in the past, you know, systems, retention, lead generation, sales, all that sort of stuff. So we dive into that. Travis is a wealth of knowledge, and what we respect so much about him as well is he trains bloody hard also. And that is reflected in the RPT gyms. So you guys can check him out there at the RPT gyms and just Travis Jones Entrepreneur on Instagram as well. We know you guys will love this podcast and some of the stuff that he dives into. Guys, brought to you today is Wattify. So Wattify represents this podcast. If you guys go to wattify.com/MMP, you can get a discount, and we highly recommend moving over to the gym software today if you haven't already. It's definitely worth the hassle. And then, like we've talked about before, they will use their implementation team as well to help you make the process as smooth and as easy as possible. You will not regret it. And guys, also True Coach as well. If you go to truecoach.co/MMP, you can also get a discount and a free trial on signing up with them. We highly recommend True Coach for anyone that is doing online coaching or is being coached online. It just makes the whole process so much easier. So truecoach.com/MMP to go check that out. All right, guys, let's get into the episode. All right, My Muscle Project, welcome back to another episode. Today we have on Travis Jones, who I know quite well because he's often in my Instagram feed and in my Facebook feed, giving me some strong advice. And tempting me to click on what he's got to say. So what I know about Travis is that he's, you know, extremely entrepreneurial, has done some pretty crazy stuff in the past, but now is basically a gym owner, or started a gym franchise, RBT, which is pretty exciting, and also helps other gym owners to grow their businesses and basically be a bit more savvy, a bit more real as entrepreneurs. So Travis, thanks for being on the show, and I was hoping you could give us, you know, how you kind of got into this industry, because it is quite a crowded one, and it's hard to be successful in this industry. Everyone believes they're the next consulting guru, but you've done extremely well. So I was hoping you could kind of give us a little background as how you got up to this point.
Yeah, man. Like, I guess getting into the fitness industry, like you said, it's pretty saturated. I've been in the industry for like 16 years now, so it's been a bit of a long haul so far. I remember when I was 18, I just wanted to play rugby league, and that was my dream. And I was had an off-season contract with the Raiders, and I was off the footy field after a bit of a night out, and I was feeling super sick, and I was at my mate's house. I threw up a couple of times. I passed out in the shower. They knocked the door down, called the ambulance, rushed me to hospital. And I actually had meningococcal, which is like a bacterial disease, man. Like I flatlined four times, kidney failure, intensive care for 3 months, came out of hospital, did my knee, lost my contract. And I was like, holy shit. Like, you train for, you know, 10 years committed to trying to achieve something, and then sort of gets ripped out from you. And I tried to go again, broke my neck, done a bunch of other injuries. I was like, I remember sitting there, and my sort of first mentor, he owns a gym in Perth. He was like, man, like, you're 18, like, your life's not over. It's just starting. Just pick a new fucking career. I got into the fitness space. And since then, I think the first 8 years of my career, my fitness career, as a self-employed, like, franchisee at Fitness First, going back and forth between that, and I lived in Canada for a little while working at a Good Life Gyms as a fitness manager. I worked at, like, what was it, like, probably like 14 or 12 Fitness First, pretty crazy. But I dedicated myself to trying to become a great coach. I think that's the biggest thing. I was trying to be the best at you can be at delivering transformations, or getting people strong, or getting people healthy, whatever it is you do. And then since then, I came back into Australia about 8 years ago. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to, you know, do it on my terms. And that's when I opened up at RBT Gyms.
Yeah, awesome. And so where did the idea of RBT Gyms come from? Because obviously this space is getting fuller and fuller, and you know, F45 obviously has dominated a large chunk of the market. How did you sort of get the idea for RBT, and how did it all start?
Yeah, man, like I guess it was a fair while ago. Like I actually worked with Luke Isterman in 2005. I think he was one of the first of the three who created F45 in Bondi when I worked at Fitness First there. You know, I got a strength and conditioning background, and I was, you know, working at Fitness First and working in big box gyms. You watch people walk in, they have like a 90% no-show rate, right? So 90% unusage for their memberships and like 10% usage. And most of the people have no idea what they were doing, or they didn't back then. And they just, it's not a community. It's not, you're not really a ground for breeding results. So I wanted to create something different. I wanted to tap into a bit of strength and mission background. I wanted to get people moving correctly. So I actually been working at CrossFit gym when I was living in Canada for a little bit. I was like, you know, well, I'm going to bring some, strength and conditioning meets, you know, flexible dieting, to the space, but not with Olympic lifting. I was like, that's what RBT is, man. Like, and we sort of like, also it's a, you know, I did a lot of the Poliquin stuff back before it went to, like, you know, I think every niche goes a bit crazy. I did a lot of the Czech stuff before he went a bit crazy. And I've got like 7 sites for body fat. But like, I respect them so much. They changed the industry. But, you know, we went through a bit of like, you go through like some intensification accumulation phases inside RBT. So we periodize as much as we can whilst training the general population to get stronger, faster, and leaner. And, you know, doing an environment that's community driven. We have like, you know, big 1RM days where people are lifting. We have fitness games where people are competing against each other. It's trying to create a community where people are just coming and helping them achieve their potential in life, in their body.
Nice.
And is RBT, like, is it mostly one-on-one? Is it mostly small group? And is it the same as what it started, or have you pivoted since starting?
Man, it's similar to how it started. I couldn't afford, like, the dream is getting very close to where I had. Like, I guess when I first started, man, like, I couldn't even afford the equipment. And so I lived in the gym, right? I couldn't afford a house and a gym. So I lived in the gym. I went to a guy who was just starting out as equipment supplier, and I was like, I don't have cash for equipment, but I'm going to do this. So how about you give me some equipment, and I'll just pay you cash each month. And if I default, just take the equipment off me. And I couldn't get all the equipment I wanted, but he said yes. He's actually gone out of business. but it was, that's how I got started, man. Like, I couldn't get out the whole gym to start with what I wanted to do. And it was like, it was 8-on-1 training back then. So semi-private, 8-on-1. Now we do like 10 people per one trainer. We have like 3 levels inside RBT. There's level 1, which is how people get started. It's our movement-based training, more body weight, kettlebell, bit of conditioning, just so people can actually start moving better. Then they progress from that into our level 2, which is more of a strength and conditioning sort of style. So, you know, they've got like, you know, 15 to 20 minutes of lifting. We don't go too high in intensity or too low in reps inside our level 2. It's just getting people like go through, probably the lowest is about 6 reps. And we are about 25, 30 minutes of conditioning work. And then our level 3 people progress after that, after about 16 weeks, into more of a strength and hypertrophy phase. So there is some conditioning in there. There's like a Metcon day once during the week and on the weekends. But we sort of, you know, periodize it through strength phases or strength blocks and hypertrophy blocks. And that's our 3 phases inside RBT. So on the floor at any time, there's probably like 20 people in level 3, like 15 in level 2, and it's like, you know, 15 in level 1. So like 50 people training on the floor at any one time with about 4 coaches out there. But yeah, that's how RBT runs.
Mm. So they need a big space. You can't fit an RBT in the size of an F45 gym.
No, man, no. We just, our lifts are too, I guess, you know, people want to lift heavy. People want to move. People, like, I never wanted to compromise the style of training that I was delivering based on per square meter.
Mm.
Like, I'm not using like a pump bar to do the weights just because it's smaller and I can fit more people in. Our guys want to lift heavy. Our girls want to get strong. They want to, you just need space for that.
Mm. Yeah. No, that's good. And is that, you know, probably why, you know, look at, let's just take F45, for example. It's obviously exploded, but is that, do you feel part of the limiting factor is you don't want to compromise on the training? So it's harder to find massive spaces because, you know, you can really open F45 anywhere. It's not really noise restrictions. It doesn't need a lot of space. They're easy to find. But for yourself, obviously, if you're going to do heavy weights, if you're going to need a lot of space, make a lot of noise, then it's going to be harder to find the real estate.
Yeah, man. Like, I guess it is. Also, I never wanted a franchise, right? So I think the biggest thing for me is, like, back in the day, like, I get approached all the time. It's like, hey, can I start an IBT? And I say no. I never wanted to franchise it out because I didn't want to lose the integrity of the business. So we are one company. And we grow at the rate, the cash flow that I have, and we just grind it out, right? Like, So we're at 21 at the moment. We'll probably open another 6, maybe 7 this year. The goal is to get to 50 to 60 in Australia over the next 2.5 years. And we'll get there and we'll be one company, not like 50 to 60 companies or franchisees. So I guess, you know, you sacrifice fast growth for, you know, ownership over the company. But at the same time, like, you can't sell. Say we did sell in, you know, 4 years' time and I had one franchisee, like, you can sell 1x revenue. If I have 50, 60 gyms, I can sell, you know, for like $70-80 million. So it's a big difference. Mm-hmm. Like, slow growth now, big reward later. It's like the whole Instagram thing, right? It's instant gratification. So I put up a post and I get my, you know, love from people following me or liking me. It's like, no, it's like, how about you just, you know, put in the work and over time, then, you know, it pays off in 10 years or 15 years. It doesn't give you the instant gratification.
And how have you incentivized your, not sure what you call them, but I guess your managers or the people that are responsible for each of the locations?
Yeah, man. Like, I guess we've got like managers in each of the locations. Most of our employees are full-time, right? So we have some part-time employees. I never wanted to go down the whole route of just casual employees turning up and doing sessions. I guess that's a big thing. It's different with RBT. Like, every client has a coach that's assigned to them. And I think that's a big difference from us. Like, you know, to your, I guess, CrossFit gyms or F45s or anything like that, we do individualized nutrition with flexible dieting. So it's like, we'll give you a macro split. We'll help you figure out, we'll do your body fat every single week. We'll change your macros, your nutrition compared to, you know, what your goals are and also how you're actually progressing inside the plan. So with this, like, our coaches look after about 60 clients each, and they will do the nutrition for about 60 clients on a weekly basis. Last year, I started building an app and a software, which is Keystone. So I know I've got a couple of guys on that, like Luke Lehman's on that, using his clients, and, you know, they think it's fantastic. So we use this, you know, to essentially communicate with our clients, real-time data with lifting and training. And then they essentially do their training, they do member mentoring, they do some content creation and community engagement. And then we have our head coach, our club managers, right, which is, and they're all on about, you know, anywhere from $50,000 to $65,000 full-time for our staff. And then we have our club managers sitting about $65,000-$70,000-ish. Depends on where they're at, plus commissions. So, you know, if they hit their, you know, member growth on a monthly basis, they'll be on an extra, like, about $18,000 a year. So that's, you know, we run a little bit differently to your standardized gym. And then above that, we've got cluster managers keeping people accountable. Like, we're a big company now, man. We've got 100-plus employees in the one company. So it's having the right tiers to motivate everyone and keep everyone accountable as well, and also set people up for success.
And how did you go from that first gym, sleeping at the gym, to like where you are now? Like, what would you, obviously there's some lots of factors that contribute to the success of the gym, but if you had to put it down to, you know, maybe just a handful of things, what do you feel like it was that kind of launched you?
I'm a crazy motherfucker, right? So I guess that's number one. So you have to be risky as hell, right? I think that's the biggest thing. I opened the first one. I lived in the gym for the first, you know, year, 6 months in. My mom's walking the streets. And I walked up to about 100 people every single week and offered them a month for free and said, you know, if I you know, start to transform your life, you know, you've got to stay. And they said yes. So 80 people every single week would pretty much tell me to fuck off, and 20 said yes. And that's how I started my prospecting. It was like mass rejection. I did that for 6 months. I was like, I cannot scale this business like this. I have work ethic. I'm willing to do it, but I need to learn how to do marketing, but I need blogging. I need all the rest of it happening. A guy in the States who was running this competition, he was pretty good at what I wanted to learn. You know, his mastermind was expensive. I couldn't afford it at the time. And whoever could rep his website the best or blog the best won a year of mentoring and got into his mastermind. So I tattooed across the back of my shoulder. I have this tattoo of his website. I sent a picture in and I won a year. Do business. I got this guy's tattoo across my shoulder, and that's how I started learning how to do a bit of social media marketing and how to do blogging and the rest of it. And we didn't have landing pages and shit back then, so I had to try and build landing pages and all that sort of stuff and learn how to build websites. It's fucking crazy. But from there, man, after the first year, I got a bit bored. I started some online stuff and generated some cash there. I ended up having like 5,000 members paying us $10 a week online with this Transforming 28 thing that I created. And that was all just through, fucking Women's Day picked it up. I was in Men's Health, Women's Health. I was on like a bunch of other magazines because it was started to go pretty crazy on radio shows. So that went, started to go viral. And that was before we were doing much paid media. And I sort of got a bit lost. I was like, wasn't just purely focused on RBT. And then 18 months into RBT, I ended up shutting the online stuff down. I was like, no, I'm back focusing in. I had 20,000 cash. I said to one of my trainers, let's do it together. So originally what I did is I partnered up with 4 or 5 people and I went 50-50. So it wasn't a franchise, it was a partnership. So 50-50 in, we put cash in each. Yeah, so I had 20,000 cash. I took it out of the bank. I gave it to one of my my trainers who's been a partner at the time. So I ended up with 4 or 5 partners with RBT before we rolled it back into one company a year and a half ago. So like I opened it up with him, took it out of the bank, found a location. I was doing a bit of consulting at the same time then. And I flew in literally for the opening and I was doing all the marketing myself and my wife. We were doing the marketing for every single RBT. It was probably about the start of last year. So we opened up our second RBT, super risky. Just went with it, right? And then like 6 months later, we opened up the third one. I had another partner. You know, he wasn't the right one. So like 2 months after it, I just had to take it back off him and paid him out. I opened up another one with another partner, ended up going to that 5 partners. And the plan was always to roll it back into one company and either buy them out or give them a percentage of the large company. It happened a little bit earlier than we thought. So I rolled it back in, a year and a half ago to one big company, and some of them had a small percentage and some of them got bought out. But it was leveraging the start of the growth with some partners to get it to where it needed to be. And my first trainers, I took them from where I was working in the big box gym, and I was like, don't pay rent there. Just give me 8 hours a week for free and you can bring your clients and just train them and make all the money you want. Just give me 8 hours a week for free. And for that, I ended up getting 32 hours of trainers taking my, semi-private sessions for free. I had 4 trainers come across and they were taking my sessions for me. And that's how I sort of got through my first year of growth without having to go too much employees as far as expenses. And I flipped them into, paying them a salary, and it kept growing from there. I think we've had about, 21 amendments or something like that of our contracts to this date, and we'll keep amending them to make them better and better and better. Like all RBT trainers, they can do one-on-ones at RBT and take 100% of the money on top of their, wage. We're not a one-on-one facility, so, our trainers, I want them to make as much money as they want. Some make, $120,000, $150,000 working at RBT. Some of them make their $60,000 because they don't want to do one-on-one on top. Like it's up to them, right? But trying to constantly develop the business to benefit the coaches, trying to keep coaches, trying to develop them, bringing in outside education from, putting everyone through FMA to now we have like Luke Lim and Muscle Nerds on retainer. That's what we do at the moment. And we have an education department. So Ben Kent operates that. So he's giving all our staff his, attain education and monthly webinars from him and making sure that he can do that. I think it's like constantly trying to deliver more for your staff so they don't feel like they have to leave. They feel appreciated. They feel like they're growing. I think that's a platform to go from, not knowing what to do, living in your gym, trying to understand business, tattooing myself to learn it, you know, buying multiple mentors to try and then learn more social media marketing, trying to do some online shit, coming back in together, just throwing cash at this business consistently and keeping the best coaches I possibly can. You know, that's sort of how we've got to today, man.
It's awesome. Yeah, that's great. And how do you find the best coaches? Obviously, there's like, you know, you can post and ask friends and that sort of thing, but
You can steal them from Fitness First.
Yes, yeah, that's a good way to.
Yeah, exactly. I guess the biggest thing, man, like, you know, my profile, I've grown over the years up and down. I think I stopped posting on social for about 2 years there just because I got sick of people hating on me every single day of my life. I'm back into getting hated on, so it's all good again. You've probably seen me in my newsfeed more than over the last, you know, 6 months than you have in the last, you know, yeah, 2.5 years. So with that, guys, like growing my profile, I allowed me to get hit up. I get hit up like probably every week, probably 2 or 3 times by coaches wanting to work at RBT from around the world. So they'll fly to Australia and work for us. They want to be a part of RBT. They see what we're doing. They see, you know, what we offer our coaches, and you know, they believe in it. We do now, because the growth that we're trying to achieve, have full-time recruitment and HR. So constantly like bringing in people through Seek or any other avenue like that. But, you know, we'll also poach, right? That's a full-time recruiter. We'll poach people from any business. You know, we'll offer them a better standard of work, and we'll offer them more incentives, and we'll take them from anything. You know, every F45 trainer has their F45 trainer on Instagram, so you can just hit them up and bring them in and coach them up, or, you know, you can take them from anywhere, really.
Mm. Yeah, nice. And what's like the average sort of coach, how many coaches are there at each location? You mentioned there's full-time, a lot of them are full-time.
For each location is what we sort of look at. A gym runs 200 plus members with 4 coaches.
Okay. And what's the, is the layout always very similar to each location? You're trying to get the same sort of feel as people walk in?
Yeah, man, like it's pretty similar. Like we go for a minimum 298 square meters of training space.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of allows us to have our level 3, level 2, level 1. The design of the walk-in and all that sort of stuff, like, you know, that's always going to be a little bit different because of the buildings and whatnot, but the training space is pretty much the same all the time. So we end up being about 450 square meters. Some of them are like 600-700 square meters, just because we've got bigger spaces. So it's just more room. But in general, it's pretty much similar, man.
Nice. And I'm not sure, but I haven't seen an RBT in Sydney. It hasn't been a lot in Sydney. What?
So we have Rockdale and we have Chadswood.
Okay. How was the how had the move gone from obviously starting in Victoria and then transitioning to Sydney? It's obviously a very different market in terms of like rent and, you know, just transportation and parking and all that sort of stuff. How did you find the challenge of moving to Sydney?
It's been okay, man. I've been coaching Fit Pros for about 5-6 years. I've got a couple of Fit Pros in Sydney that I've taken to $2 million. So they run exactly the same systems as us. So it's like, you know, it's just, you know, rinse and repeat for us. I think staffing is probably the biggest one, and that's the biggest learning curve for me, is having good staff on the ground to then keep everyone accountable and keep everyone moving forward. I think Sydney's a bit of a different beast with that. I think Perth's probably one of being the easiest one to grow. Perth people are super chill, they're super compliant, they just work and they listen and they go to the beach. I don't know, man. Like, I think, and this is nothing to Sydney coaches, but I feel Sydney coaches demand more. Like, they want more. And it is more expensive to live in Sydney. I used to live in Bondi. Don't hold it against me. But, yeah, it's in Bondi. It does cost more to live there. I get it. But I feel that, yeah, it's a little bit harder to grow in Sydney. For us, being external, like, if I move there and I move one of my regional managers there, that might be something we do. It's been probably one of the harder ones.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. It's definitely a different beast. I think that just the general expectation and the standard of living is so high that it just makes everyone want more, right? And want more from their life and aspire to different things. So, yeah.
I think I think it's the whole Instagram thing, right? I think like it's fueled a lot in Sydney. Like coaches believe that they should be making, you know, multiple $100,000 from a fucking Instagram post. I think that, you know, the expectations are unrealistic. You know, like most people, and do like a fucking 8-week online course. Like an 8-week online course should give you like a 40K wage. Like, to be honest, in most any other industry, like we live in a fitness space, and people get promised the world, and then they come to the essentially, you know, the real world, and they can work at fitness first, and you can make 100K working for yourself, but then you're paying 25K in rent, and you got to pay your own tax, and you end up with like 60K anyway, with a lot of fucking headaches because you have to run your own business. So it's just trying to combat that at the same time as come with some real world, it's not always sunshine and rainbows, and that's why the fitness industry, you know, people will expect the world, but they're only in it for 9 months as the average person.
Yeah, it's still, it's still a very flaky industry. What do you think, just making a pivot towards the end here, what do you think the future is going to be for business consulting? Obviously, there was, for those of you listening, some of you know, maybe even done the program, but Alex Hormozi basically ran this program with these crazy ads that took off and completely changed the business consulting industry, probably for worse, I would say. The instant gratification thing, exactly what you said, that he played on that perfectly. But what do you feel like the future is for it now, for people like yourself who are trying to help gym owners grow their gym and live a better life?
Yeah, man, me and Alex, I coached Alex back in the day, right? me and Alex are good mates as far as, like, we've known each other a long time. I remember when he first opened his first gym, I did a 3-day mastermind in Vegas that he came to, and it was 3,000, 3 days, guaranteed $10,000 ROI. That was his first time, and he's working with Sam Bakatia. He jumped out to open up his own first gym before he sold them or whatever happened. I don't believe in the bait and switch. Like, that's me. A bait and switch is 6 weeks free. Hey, come on down. Oh, by the way, it actually costs a lot of money. I don't think the bait and switch works best in Australia. It can work in the US because you drop a pin on Facebook and you have like 200,000 people in an audience. And it takes you a long time to churn an audience. In Australia, people think you're a cunt really fast. like, it's the truth, man. Like, I'll drop a pin in South Melbourne. Yeah, I have like 30,000, but I'll churn that audience so much faster than like 300,000. So I'll work to start with, and people get like this great result. And then all of a sudden, like after like 3 months, it's like, oh, why aren't people coming down for my 6 weeks free anymore? And it's like, oh, because people think you're a dickhead. And it's like, but this is the truth. And there's nothing wrong with it. Like, marketing's marketing. If you find a tactic that works, yeah, go for it, right? But I personally don't see it as ethical. And I know people will say, and I'll have like a conversation, debate it. Like, that's cool. I just, like, that's my feelings. And, you know, I think, you know, the fitness industry, you know, they gravitate to whatever they believe and they hold on to it true, you know, vegans and paleo and fucking flexible dieting, all the rest of it, right? Same as marketing, right? I just don't believe that's my thing. I believe in, you know, being somewhat ethical up front with what you're charging. We do an irresistible offer, a low barrier entry. I've been teaching it for like 5-6 years with consulting, and we'll do it 21 days or 28 days or something like that, or a 6 week, but we charge people up front. They're not coming down thinking it's free. And, you know, there's ways you can upsell it to keep people, and there's ways you can do it to make sure that people are great and not churn your audience and actually give to the marketplace rather than take to the marketplace. So you're serving through content creation. I believe marketing can essentially get shit trainers lots of money and give a bad reputation to the industry in general. And I believe, like, you know, Malcolm Gladwell, you know, the whole 10,000 hour rule, I think that's not done enough in our industry. You have to put in your time. You have to put in your reps, essentially, to become a great trainer. It's not just about making money. We got in this industry to change some fucking lives. And don't just get on some gimmick so you can make some cash. I'd prefer to make a little bit less cash to start with, become a better trainer, and all of a sudden you have a reputation of getting results. And now, guys, you can only sell shit once. Like, you sell shit, people go, this is a piece of shit, I'm not going to come back. If you actually sell something that's quality and you have competent staff and you believe in your product and you put your name in your product, and you fucking lose integrity, you don't get that shit back. I think that if you can put your name to something, then yeah, like you can sell it, you can bring people in, and they'll actually stay and they'll refer and they'll bring more people in. I think that's the foundation to a great business. I think business consulting, man, like I've coached a lot of consultants in Australia, like, you know, name a consultant that's doing fitness business coaching. I bet you I've coached them. And a lot of the time it's people running a fitness business, they go bankrupt and then they become a consultant. It's the fucking truth, man. Like, and I'll say it to your face. And I'm not an angry person, but I am very integral, right? Which is like, it grinds me when people couldn't make it work for themselves and then they can learn how to sell and market. So, but they don't understand leadership. They don't understand culture. They don't understand fucking team development. They don't understand cash flow, obviously, because they went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. They don't understand how to deliver results. They don't understand any of this shit. They understand how to get some fucking leads in and how to get some sales. That's not business consulting at all, right? And that's what these guys are doing. They get these people a quick couple of wins on the fucking board. Then they sell them into a long-term program. They can't deliver results long-term because they have no idea how to fucking do it. And that's what gives a bad name to business consulting. And I think that's a hard thing. You know, I think the whole space is pretty fucked up, to be honest. Mm. And yeah, like it's pretty sad. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm sure that you know I'll sort of do it for the next sort of 4 or 5 years. I sort of stopped consulting to fit pros for 2 years, probably why no one really saw me market. And I ended up coaching just general business. So I was coaching financial planners and like fucking plumbers and shit. And I was like, you know what? Like I did it because I wanted to prove to myself I could coach anyone and do that. And we did that. And I felt like shooting myself in the face. Because I just don't talk to plumbers and financial planners anymore. And I was like, you know, I'm going to back into the fitness space and I'm just going to coach fit pros. And, you know, I think, you know, it's giving them tangible, long-lasting results because so many people we used to coach and now not in business. I'm like, what happened? They're like, oh, I never just could break through from being a business operator to a business owner. And I got sick of grinding it out mornings and nights pretty much for the rest of your life. And that just comes down to systems. So that's really what we sort of specialize in, you know, getting cash in the bank, increasing someone's revenue by $300,000 a year. It's consistency, really. And then moving them out of being a business technician and operator into a business owner and giving them, you know, continuous, consistent growth.
Mm, cool. Yeah, that's great. And I think, for anyone that's sort of in that marketplace, I think the two things that I look for is, you know, we always say that, you know, actions, you know, will always speak louder than any words can. And working out and being a physical specimen is super important as a business consultant and leader. And then also second thing is having gyms, like having built like a fitness empire, multiple gyms, that sort of thing. There's nothing that can speak louder than those two things. And yeah, Travis, you have both of those things, which is, I think, super important. So no one has to really look much further than that. There's so many consultants out there that never lifted a weight in their life, never gone for a run, super out of shape, and have never owned gyms or run gyms very unsuccessfully. So, it's cool to speak to people that are actually doing it.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So, Travis, you have a podcast, you have a really cool Instagram with lots of content on there, but where are the best places people can find you?
Honestly, guys, like probably the best way you can find me is just on Instagram. I'm probably hanging out there most at the moment. So it's Travis Jones Entrepreneur. You shoot me a DM, ask some questions. I give out like lots of advice in my DMs. You know, people saying they're struggling with A, B, and C. I'll give them some sample ads. I'll give them sales scripts. So I'll just give them some advice to come through the fucking anxiety that most business owners feel on a day-to-day basis. Like it's pretty fucked up how, you know, people feel like it's so lonely. Being an entrepreneur does suck at times, guys. You know, you feel like you can't talk to most of your friends because they don't get it. They call you obsessed. They say you should give up or get a real fucking job. I know that stigma has changed in the fitness industry, at least a little bit since I started. I got fucking questioned constantly when I was going to get a real job. So I get fuckers. Come and fucking ask me when I'm getting a new real job.
Yeah.
But like, it's just like, I feel sometimes it's good to be able to reach out to someone and just say, hey, I'm going through this. Like, what should I do? And I know a lot of people on my Insta ask me that. So just, you know, hit me up if you feel like you need to chat to someone about whatever the fuck you're going through with business. And I am definitely happy to have a chat.
Fantastic. Awesome. Travis from the My Must Project, thanks so much for being on.
Thanks, guys.